hear about you in my absence. I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them, and that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, church. Hey, that might be the best good morning I've had of all the times I've gotten to preach at a 9 a.m. service. Let's do that again. Good morning, church. Because we should have energy, right? We're here for a good reason, right? Yeah. And so we should be excited. We should be somewhat crazy. I'm always crazy, as my students will tell you, and that's okay. Hey, we're going to dive in this morning. We're going to keep going on our Philippians series, and it's a beautiful series. I had the privilege in seminary for a Greek class, that was fun, to study this book through that. And so we actually had to go through on our own with our tools and dive through the whole entire book for the whole entire semester. And so if you've ever wanted to learn a new language and learn how to break words apart that are not English and learn how to take phrases that aren't in English order and all these things, don't take Greek. But I love the class. I got to learn a lot, so it was really fun. So here's our big idea today. Courageous joy can be found at any time because it's a choice. Okay? That's our big idea today. Courageous joy can be found at any time because it's a choice. Here's where we get confused with the word joy. We tie joy to our emotions. Make sense? So if I'm happy, I must be joyous, right? And that's a lot of times we do it. When I'm down, when life stinks, when life's hard, there's no reason to feel joy, right? Because I'm not happy or feeling positive. But here's the truth. We have to learn how to separate them. There is emotion, and that's important to name. But we can find joy at any time in our life because it's a choice. And to be honest, for those of us that claim we're followers of Christ, really, we should have joy all the time. No matter what, our emotions happen that day. Now, I say that in all sincerity, being one of the guilty people, that when I'm not in a good mood that day, I will walk around and go, I don't have a lot of joy today. Yeah? Or something's happening in life that's not real positive, and I'm like, how do you find joy? Right? Really? Why? Because I've tied my emotions to joy. And joy is more about finding what God is doing and what God has done more powerful and important than my emotions. And here's where Paul is going to lead us. He's going to lead us through the text to actually show us why we can have joy. And here's the funny part. Like, normally in, like, seminary at preaching school, you get, like, 3 points. And normally you're like, how can I make this simple? Well, Paul already did it for me. He gave me 4 S's today in the passage. And I was like, yes! I don't have to work real hard at this one. But let's actually go back to verse 20. So if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to open up to Philippians chapter 1, because that's where we're finishing today. But we're going to start back in verse 20 to begin, because we have to remind ourselves some things that are going to lead us to verses 27 through 30. So verse 20 says this, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. Now, why is he saying this? Well, if you were with us a couple weeks ago when Pastor Craig opened the series, he took us to Acts 16, which is giving us a big picture of the church in Philippi and what's happening there with the people of Philippi. And so here's what's happening. I'll give you a quick overview. So there's a female slave who has a spirit that can predict the future. She earns her owners a great deal of money because she can do that, right? And people obviously want to know the future, like what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. So they're going to, and they're spending all this money to try to learn the future. Well, in that, here comes Paul and Silas coming around to spread the gospel in Philippi. And she keeps going around saying, honestly, the truth, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. So in one sense, we need to listen to her, right? And go, hey, we probably need to pay attention to this. If she can predict the future, and this is what she's saying, there's something to this, right? Well, she keeps doing this day in, day out, and eventually, like all of us, there's just a point where we get a little annoyed, right? So my annoyance lately is I'm trying to put all my Christmas Legos back together. And in that, my youngest, who I love dearly, loves my Christmas Legos as well. He wants to play with my Christmas Legos. I'm trying to put my new set I just bought together, and he's already begging me to play with it. And I'm like, I just put it together, bro. Like, give me some space. And he keeps going. I want to play. I want to play. I want to play. Can I play? Can I put the letters down the chute? Because it's Santa's post office. Because he needs a post office, right, for all of his letters. And in that, I finally am like, that's enough, dude. Go play with Santa. And I give him the little figurine, right? Well, here's where Paul gets. He gets annoyed with her, and he commands, actually, the spirit to come out of her. Well, because of that, the owners aren't super happy, because guess why? They lose all their money. So the owners drag Paul and Silas to the authorities, and it doesn't just stop there. With the authorities, they're stripped, they're beaten, they're severely flogged, and now they're thrown into prison. So here's a guy asking us to find courageous joy. Has anybody ever been stripped by somebody out in the public? Has anybody ever been severely beaten or flogged? Has anybody been thrown into prison just for sharing the gospel? Probably most of us in the room have not. And here's a guy saying, hey, still find joy. We're finding joy. And as when you keep going through the text, right, in Acts 16, we see they're singing and they're praying. They're worshiping God still, even in the midst of all this. But here's what's interesting. It goes to the next verse, verse 21, one of the more famous Philippians verses, right? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, if you've ever faced a really hard moment in life, there are days where you're like, Christ, take me. Right? I'd rather be with you. Let's just let this be done. Let me spend eternity with you. That's all I want, right? So he's torn between two things, it says in the rest of the verses, the desire to be with Christ, but he also reminds himself it's necessary to be here. Why? Because he can encourage them in their faith and in the joy. But also more people hopefully will hear about Christ because he's still here, right? Like if we're all being honest in the room, there's days that have been pretty low where I'm like, God, you can take me today. I want to be with you. Come back, right? Like we pray revelation, right? Like, come back, Lord, come back. But at the same time, I also have a wife and I have two boys, and I realize, man, if I go now, my wife's going to have to do this alone and figure it out. And my two boys will be out without their daddy for a season. Plus, I believe there's a lot more people that need to hear about Jesus. And I'm hoping I get to be one of those people that help more people know about Jesus, right? So I know at some point, God will take me home, and I'll get to spend the rest of my life with him. But right now is not the time. Right now there's a task at hand. And so he takes us to that task in verse 27. And I love this phrase, whatever happens. Not if you feel like it. Not if you want to. There's no excuse. There's no reasoning. Whatever happens, I still want you, Philippians. I still want you, SEC, to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens in your life, whatever's going on in this season or the next, whatever's happening in your life, whatever's happened around your life, it doesn't matter. There's no reason. There's no excuse. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, good, bad, tough, hard, whatever it is, conduct yourselves in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live in such a way. So I'm going to finish the verse, and then we're going to come back and pull this one apart. So then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Why can we find joy? Because probably most of us in this room at some point has heard the gospel and accepted it. Yeah? So we can find joy, let alone in that. Because somebody loved us, somebody cared for us enough to let us know about Jesus Christ. And for many of us in this room, we are sitting here because of that. The two biggest impacts in my life were my mom and my grandfather, her dad. I'm here today because of the influence of my life. While my grandfather was alive, it was all about Jesus. It was all about following him. I mean, he even gave me his Bible. He actually went into prisons like some of our people in our church do. And that was his ministry, was to go into prisons and tell more people about Christ. And he gave me his Bible before he passed. Because he wanted more people to know about Christ. And he felt like in his heart, if I'm here, I'm not done until God takes me home. And it's a beautiful thing. And I'll tell you, I know his story. And I know my mom's story. And it wasn't a pleasant story. Because of what my mom went through with her mother. But even in that, whatever happened to my mom, she decided to break that generational chain. And she wanted me and my sister to know Christ. And my sister and I do. No matter what happens. No matter what my mom went through. She wanted to do this. She wanted this to be real for us. But here's the thing. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in the manner worthy of the gospel. Well, here's another version. Only and always show yourselves to be good citizens. So if you have a relationship with Christ, if you've accepted the gospel to be true, you are no longer technically a citizen of earth, even though you're alive here today. You are really a citizen of heaven. That is really your home. Now, unfortunately, we don't get to live there yet. But we can bring it here, like the Lord's Prayer, right? Bring it here, your will on earth, as it is in heaven. But here's the idea. Living as citizens of heaven, every citizen has rights and privileges, right? We have duties and responsibilities. Even here in America, we have rights and privileges. No matter if you agree with stuff or not. We have duties and responsibilities, right? As citizens of America. Same with heaven. But the difference is, a citizen of America only shows the earth. A citizen of heaven shows the gospel. Amen? And so we have that choice. We have that choice to have courageous joy because it's a choice. And through that choice, it's because we get to be representatives of the gospel, being here on Sunday or being here Monday night if you come to our prayer, being here at any point for students on a Sunday or Wednesday, our kids over there right now, it's important to be here to be together. But here's the truth. It's just as important how you leave these doors. Because you now, as you leave and go out there, wherever there is for you the rest of the week, you represent heaven. You represent the gospel by your life. And here's some phrases I had seen in my studies. And we're going to show this on the screen, but here's what I want you to do. I'm going to read through all of them. What I'd love for you to do is you hear these go, which one hits me the most? Okay? So here we go. There's no room to live any other manner. Living every moment of every day. Live in a way consistent with the type of life that flows out of our identity. Live distinctly and differently than the world. Model the message they now have embraced, meaning living what you believe, and keeping the gospel the center of our lives. These are different phrases that were given in the text in different commentaries, all leading to the same thing. Are we living the way God wants us to live? No matter what. Sadly, in high school, my 10th grade year was probably one of my worst seasons of my life in the sense of how I lived my life. I was literally the best cusser in my school. No one had a better potty mouth than I did 10th grade year. No one could out-cuss me 10th grade year. And I actually sadly took pride in that. I learned how to take a lot of these four-letter words and combine them in some pretty creative ways. But here's the interesting thing. That's not where the story is really going. The story is going, right? I grew up in the church. I've known about Jesus my whole life. When I was 8, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord, right? At 10, I was baptized. What the heck, Willis? Right? But in that season, I cared more about living the way others wanted me to live and fitting in my high school than I did conducting myself in the way God wanted me to live. So we're in biology class. We had that all year long. Not one of my favorite classes. Obviously, I'm not in the sciences in my career. And another friend of mine, his name's Drew, sat at my table in the same class. Another follower of Christ. And about halfway through the school year, he made a statement that I arguably believe is one of the things that God used to start getting my life turned back around. He said to me, quit calling yourself a Christian. Excuse me? Because here's what I was doing. I was pridefully going around my high school telling everybody I was a follower of Christ and at the same time cussing up a storm. Those don't work, do they? It's either one or the other. It's not a both and. And in that, he graciously called me out and said, just quit calling yourself a Christian. Why? Because when I walk out these doors, and if I'm not acting the way God wants me to act, I'm not showing people the gospel. I'm showing people earth and the way the world wants to live. And I'm not kidding. I went home that day, and that phrase rocked me. Why? Because how we live is important to our witness. How we live is important to our witness. And that school year was not even close to letting people know about Jesus. How you live your life will either help people know Jesus or it'll push people away from Jesus. And unfortunately, the truth is with Christianity, man, if you call yourself a Christian, you all know this, right? And you're not living the way God wants you to live, people are going to call you out and you're going to be called a hypocrite. And people are going to go, look, it's the same thing everywhere, right? Christians don't live the way they say they should be living, right? They're all like us, right? How sad is that? What would Shelbyville look like in 2025 if we all decided to try to figure this out and actually live this out, no matter what's happening in life, we're going to live the way God wants us to live. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's four S's, like I told you, that are going to help us do that. So I'm going to have my lovely assistants come up because they're going to help me with a few of these phrases. You can come up. You don't have to be scared. They're just humans. Yeah. So here's the first S, stand, right? So here's what I'm going to do. Come over here. Hopefully the camera's on the motion sensor because I'm going to move around. So Layla, you come up here. You face out. Heaven, you come up there, face out. You come back here, face that way. You come back here and face that way. So here's what we're doing. We're setting up a fortress. Because standing is a military term, right? So here's the truth. When we're not standing for the gospel, we're not standing, we're running. We're fleeing, right? Well, here's the other thing. When you ever look at a fortress, right, there's four corners. And obviously they set up the scenery all the different ways. Why? Because they want to protect the fortress, but they want to protect each other. Well, guess what? If heaven goes down, don't literally go down, because I know your knee. Okay? Stay safe. Stay safe. You're still alive, because I love you. But say she goes down. Well, guess what? Who's not protected now? Layla and Lily. Why? Because a piece of the corner is missing. Folks, each one of us in this room are vitally important. Not just to sharing the gospel, but for each other. To help each other, to protect each other, to be there with one another. Paul's not writing this book to individuals. He's writing the book to the whole church. And what happens is we're all in this fortress together. There's people even in the middle we're trying to protect, and I would argue it's the little kids. We're trying to be these Christians to, one, be an example to all those kids over there, but also not just be an example to all those kids over there, but to also protect all those little kids over there from what the world is bringing and is going to bring for them. This is vitally important, folks. Not just living the way God wants us to live, but stop giving up the way God wants us to live. Stop running away. Think about this. If Layla goes, oh my gosh, do you see these people out there? Do you see this army out there? I might pee my pants, right? It happens. Yeah, it's happened in war. You can't tell me it hasn't. And she's like, peace out. And she takes off. Guess what? Diamond's going down. Heaven's going down. And if they go down, Lily's going down. And guess what? We lost the fortress. It's vital that we learn how to stand together. It's vital that we don't leave our post. Why? Because people get hurt. People die. People feel left alone. And then no one has our back. We can't run. We can't turn. We have to hold our ground. And more importantly, we have to stand boldly and seek to spread the gospel faithfully. We have to believe these posts, these positions we have in the fortress are so vital. We have to do everything not to give it up. It doesn't matter, right, what it says, right, whatever happens. It doesn't matter whatever's going to happen. I am going to stay here until God allows me not to be here anymore. Yeah? And we have to fight for that. We have to fight together for that. As a church, as small groups, as a community. This is too big. This is too important. Thank you, ladies. Can you give them a hand? Why? Because it's all for the gospel. He goes on to say, for the faith of the gospel. We're doing this. We're standing. We're staying where we are because it's too important to do this and let go, because if I do, the gospel might not go where it's supposed to go. The gospel might not go to this other person. But here's the other S. Strive. Striving together. He doesn't say striving alone or just strive on a little walk. He says strive together. This is more of an athlete term. Think about this. Anybody ever played sports? Anybody ever had a bad day in sports? Yeah. It's hard to strive, isn't it, when you're down? I mean, here's the beauty. I'll say beauty. Some of you might not agree. I know some people in the country don't agree. But I was watching a game last night. I was very excited. Because Alabama lost to an unranked team on top of it. I was almost dancing in my living room. And I don't really dance. But here's what I do know. I bet the coaches around these guys were like, man, we're losing to Vanderbilt, but how do we do this? Well, guess what we have to do? We have to go encourage our guys. Because why? We're in this together. He might have missed the ball. He might not have made the right block, but it's still a team sport. And we're still doing this together because why? We win together, we lose together. I'll tell you what, I get to coach an 8U soccer team right now, which is a privilege, but also sometimes humorous. But one of my goals as the coach is to never let my boys put their head down. If you come and watch us, one of the first things I'll do if they score on us is I'll say, get your heads up. Keep your head up. You're doing great. Because guess what they all... say I said that. But here's what I'm proud of him for. He realized I'm getting angry and I need to walk away. I said, bro, I need to learn that. But then not long ago, which was two nights ago, at our football game, he asked me if he could go to the other side of the football field with the kids from the other school. And I said, no. And man, we just talked about temptation in the truck that morning, about, hey, if you're getting tempted, get away, because that means it's going to lead you somewhere no good. And here's the funny thing. So I'm sitting up in the stands at our football game, and if you look to the right, you know, there's that little pathway to the other side of the field for the fans, right, of the other school, and all of his friends go over there to play football with the other kids at the other school, and I had said, no, you stay over here. I'm not kidding you. It's like comical. You watch him go to that side of the field, walk a few feet on the fence, and stop. I guarantee he's looking where Daddy is to see if Daddy's looking. He goes a little further. I was like, if he passes that flagpole, he has stepped the boundary of temptation. And Benjamin's like, oh. And he did. He walked across and didn't just walk across. He went across, went to the other side. So Daddy walked over to the flagpole and stood there. And he saw me. And he took off running towards Daddy, not away. And he knew. He knew in that moment he disobeyed. And he had to sit with us the rest of the night. But here's the thing. Our calling is not to avoid suffering, but to stand firm in our faith. Here's his suffering. I'm not going to be with where all my other friends are, and now they're going to pick on me about it. That's suffering to him right now. And I said, buddy, I hate that for you, but I also asked you not to go. And we talked about in bed that night, obeying God versus letting other people tell you which direction to go. And there's going to be moments that feel like suffering because you're going to make other people not happy with you. Other people are going to make fun of you or disappointed in you. And I told him, I said, it's not easy, and I shared a few of my stories. But here's what's the beauty, and we're going to end here because we got communion this morning. In Philippians, Paul actually tells us why this suffering is beautiful. In verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. This beating, this flogging, this stripping, this put in prison has advanced the gospel. This suffering has advanced the gospel. And as a result, has become clear throughout the whole palace guard. So not just other followers of Christ, but palace guard. And to everyone else, that I am in chains for Christ. So everybody knows what he's about and who he is. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Sometimes your suffering isn't for you. Sometimes your suffering is set examples for others. That's how we can find joy. Because you never know how your suffering is going to advance the gospel. It might be to encourage other people in this room to keep going. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Or it might be out in public where somebody comes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because they watched what you went through and they can't believe it. And they're like, I want that too, because there's something different about that. And I want that in my life. So let's pray. I'm going to invite the band back up, and then we're going to prepare for communion. So God, would you help us live the way you want us to live? Would you help us have this courageous joy to stand and strive, to know we're saved, and to walk through suffering in a new way? Would you help us be the people you want us to be? More importantly, so more can know you. So God, would you help us with this? Would you guide us in this? Would you give us that courage? Would you help us? Would you bring other people around us so we can continue to go the way you want us to go? In your name, amen. So hey, we're going to take communion now, and this is my first time doing it, so I think I got to invite the team up too for communion, I believe. But oh, they're already there. Great. You're pros, and I'm learning. But hey, we're going to take time now. Here's what I want you to do. When we're ready, we're going to come up and get the bread. There's four stations, two up here and two in the back. Get the bread and the juice. I do ask that you keep it because we're going to take it together once everybody has theirs, okay? And then I'll walk you through that. So go ahead and let's take our time through communion. Gives us a beautiful picture. So I'm going to read this. There's two sections before we take our bread and our juice, because we want to remember why we're doing this and who this is about, right? And so Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says this: who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's why we have today communion, because of who Christ is. So in remembrance of that, let's take our bread. And then verse 9 through 11 goes on to explain more about who he is. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He not only did this for you, he did this so God would be known. Folks, that's why we're talking about Philippians 1, 27 through 30. This is all about helping God be known. But this is about remembering who he is. And he did it. discipleship takes both our relationship with Christ, but also living for Christ. So let's take this juice in remembrance of that today. So God, we do. We thank you that you've done this. Thank you for your example. Thank you that we have a way to live, an example of way to live, and a way to be. And would you help us do so? In your name.
Build our lives on God. praise you, Father. With trembling hands, we praise you, God. Thank you for this time that we get to spend with you, our leaders who encourage us to grow closer to you. Please convict our hearts from these teachings, Lord, that we would stand and strive and everything else. Please teach us to be people of God's word. We love and trust you, Father. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, thank you for worshiping with us. You're dismissed.